Welcome to the Ministry Marks podcast. I'm David Haynes, and today I'm joined by Thomas Majors.
Hello, David.
Hey, Thomas, boy, do I ever have a good topic. This happens to be a listener-suggested topic.
Praise the Lord for listeners.
That's right.
We need some sponsors.
So one of our church members asked a question, and this is the result. Here is the topic of today's podcast. Is it okay to watch that?
Ooh, that's a good question. That's a question I get quite a few times.
Yeah. So whenever we're thinking about, is it okay to watch that? Well, what comes to your mind?
Andy Griffith.
The Andy Griffith Show. One of the most wholesome shows in the history of American television.
It is definitely wholesome, right?
Yes.
Widower is taking care of his son.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's the sheriff. Yeah. And he's giving wisdom and biblical teachings to people in a way that is not just beating them over the brow with the Bible, but we would describe it as biblical content in a sense, biblical wisdom teaching.
I completely agree. There is rarely a day that goes by where I do not watch an episode of Andy Griffith. My wife and I, whenever we like to have noise on and TVs on in our house, and we will have it on the Andy Griffith Show. It almost plays on a television in our house on a loop. We love the Andy Griffith Show.
Man, everybody loves the Andy Griffith Show. There's nothing wrong with the Andy Griffith Show, is there?
Right. Nothing at all, except
yeah.
What about when Andy and Helen go to the restaurant in Mount Pilot and he orders a draft beer? What about that?
That's very public, isn't it?
Ah, what about whenever they objectify the beauty of Frances/Frankie when she's a farmhand and Andy wants her dad to realize that she'd attract a lot more bees with honey, if you know what I mean. What about that?
That wouldn't fly in our culture today.
Absolutely. So is Andy Griffith the only show that we hold in such high regard that may have questionable content?
No, I think there's a bunch of shows, and this is a real life question that Christians have. We want to be people who are sanctified, who are being sanctified by the Holy Spirit, but we're bombarded, right? We're bombarded with our eyes, with billboards, with television. Our ears are bombarded with all kinds of music and lyrics. And this is a question that comes up so much. How do we live as sanctified people who are being made holy in the image of Christ? And watch that.
Yeah.
Listen to that.
And even I think the Bible discusses that by saying we are in the world. We are humans who exist in this world, but we are not of the world. There is something different in us. The difference is the Holy Spirit of God. And we're going to have a really good time discussing this topic today. And the end result will be we rely upon the Holy Spirit to guide us.
Wait, I think I've got the solution.
Okay, good.
This could be the shortest podcast we've ever done.
Oh, great. Wonderful.
So here's my solution. Let's just move out there with the Amish.
Oh, that's it.
We just detach ourselves from society altogether. We will not watch television. We will not listen to the radio.
We will not record podcasts.
We will not record. Some people are saying, praise the Lord.
Yes, great. I don't have to listen to them anymore.
So we can just detach ourselves from society and not know what's happening in the greater world and allow society to go to pot.
No, you cannot be isolated from society, but you can be insulated from the effects of society. Thomas, we couldn't be evangelists. We couldn't be preachers. We couldn't be disciple makers if we isolated ourselves from everything and person in the world.
Wait, are you telling me that since Christ saved us and didn't take us out of the world immediately to when he saved us, that we're supposed to change the world in which we live?
What a novel idea. Yes, that's what we're supposed to do.
And how are we supposed to change the world if we don't know of what they do?
Isn't that a double-edged sword?
Oof.
We have to know somewhat of what is going on in the world. So in church settings, do you ever hear quotes from a television show?
Oh, all the time. And most of the quotes that I hear from especially younger church members in the churches I've served within the last few years is the office.
The office. Absolutely. If people actually listen to our podcast, they will hear office references that you and I make, but they've got to be detailed office enthusiasts if they understand what we're talking about.
Yes. And so I think the office is a good example of how a show so deeply connected with the culture of the time. How long? It's been 20 years.
Yeah. I think 05 is whenever it came out. This is 2025. And what was it on? What do they have? 9 seasons? Something like Michael Scott left after season 7, I think. And I think they had 9 seasons. So, yes. So it's been off the air for a number of years.
It's been off the air for a number of years, but people still quote it. People still watch it regularly. And I know of some Christians who watch it multiple times through the year, and they've watched it multiple times over and over and over.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right, so Thomas, let's get back to our idea here.
But I got a question. Is everything in the office like Andy Griffith?
No, everything in the office is not like Andy Griffith. There are some things that are, hey, whenever a person saves a life by doing CPR to the tune of staying alive, staying alive. That's a really good thing that you can learn from The Office.
That is a good thing. And one of the main characters, Michael, I mean, he is always trying to be inclusive and include other people and love them and share experiences with them. I mean, I would say that's a good thing, but there's probably some bad things in there too, isn't there?
Definitely. There are some bad things in there. There are some episodes that some Christians might want to skip the entire episode because of what is discussed.
I agree. And so the question now is it okay to watch that? Would it be okay to watch something like The Office? Is it okay to watch Bewitched? Is it okay to watch Harry Potter? Is it okay to watch Game of Thrones? Is it okay to watch Band of Brothers?
So of those, I almost know nothing about the shows you listed. It shows how little I know about common culture or modern culture. So, but those are very good questions, I assume. So let's kind of dive into that. And maybe let's talk about what are some red flags. Whenever these things happen, you need to not watch that show, that series, or you need to fast forward for 3 or 4 minutes to fast forward through that scene. So episode, you know, shows, series, scenes, what are some things that we would be looking for where we would say, yeah, it's not okay?
Yeah, I think anything sexually immoral is not okay.
Yeah,
because the tendency for that to draw you into grievous sin, and we should not objectify people. People who are made in the imago Dei, every person is worthy of honor, dignity, and respect. And so we don't want to objectify a person just as a sexual object or because of their looks or because of what they're able to do or what a person wants them to do or any of those things. And so if it's sexually immoral, we should not watch that. And so a lot of times, you know, the old fashioned way when I was a kid and even today, if there's something that we think is questionable, Fast forward.
That's it. Skip ahead.
Fast forward, skip ahead. If it's really, if you're fast forwarding every couple of minutes, then you probably shouldn't be watching that show and you shouldn't be watching that movie.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. All right, Thomas, another idea would be something that is spiritually questionable. And now I've already said in this podcast that we're going to rely upon the Holy Spirit of the Lord. I do think that there could be a difference between what is spiritually questionable to me, what is spiritually questionable to you. Each of us have different past experiences. There may be something that I cannot watch that you could. There may be something that you cannot watch that I could just because of previous lives, maybe before Christ, some things that you or I went through, and that we would not want to even tiptoe in that area of that idea, whether it's in book print, in word form, music, yeah, or content on television, we need to steer clear. So spiritually questionable ideas may be something that is wrong for you, but it might not be wrong for Christianity as a whole.
Yes. And immediately, as we were thinking about this, I thought of movies that relate to witchcraft in some way. And you say, well, why do you call that spiritually questionable? I would think that would be wrong. Witchcraft is wrong. Well, there's a make-believe type of witchcraft, and then there is the witchcraft that people actually practice and are holding to as a religious idea. And for me, I think of Harry Potter. Harry Potter is a make-believe book. It's a make-believe movie. It's based off of these ideas of a person, and it's fanciful. It's made up. It would be very similar to a C.S. Lewis's The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. And The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which most Christians would say is a book about Christ, has images of Christ in it, and is a Christian type book, but it also talks about magic. It talks about a witch being in the book, talks about a lion that has able to sing and create worlds. All of that is very fanciful in that, even though it may point to some greater things. Well, Harry Potter is a very fanciful type of world. It is not like our world, but it is a fanciful type of world. Now, compare that to the movie called The Craft that came out in the 1990s that is based upon Wiccanism. That is a style of witchcraft that people practice in Winnesoga, Mississippi.
Winnesoga, Mississippi. I know where that is.
Osogee, Alcorn County. Mm-hmm. There was a woman living in the county who I would speak with, who I know was a Wiccan.
Wow.
And so out in the middle of rural Mississippi, there was a woman who was practicing real witchcraft called Wiccanism. And so I think a movie like The Craft is off limits because it is talking about real spiritual things. And a movie like Harry Potter is fanciful and the imagination, and it's not pointing to real things in that sense.
Yeah, that right there makes sense, Thomas, about the spiritually questionable. But, you know, there are some television shows, there are some books, there are some podcasts that would go beyond spiritually questionable, and they would just be outright spiritually blasphemous. So whenever we think about spiritual blasphemy, I think this would be something that I would maybe focus on, the mocking of Christ. I think the mocking of Christ, whenever someone is abusing the Trinity of God, they are abusing, they're making fun of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That is in a blasphemous way that I think we should avoid as Christians. Is there another idea of spiritual blasphemy that you would kind of think of?
I think when you look at some of the horror movies and the way they portray demonic influences and demons, you know, and the spiritual realm, I think Christians should stay away from that. I think that's skirting too close to the actual spiritual realm. And you could be, I believe, hey, listen, I don't know if I've ever said this on the podcast. Mm-hmm. I believe in the spiritual realm. I believe in angels. I believe that some angels fail and we call them demons today, and that demons are working in our world.
Yeah.
We are fighting a spiritual battle, and I do not want to introduce any type of spiritually blasphemous kind of material into my house, into my mind, into my heart by watching the portrayal of demons in a sense like that. You know, there was a movie, you were talking about the mocking of Christ. I don't like it when they mock preachers either, or mock Christians.
Yeah.
Not even when they, you know, obviously mocking of Christ is wrong and it's blasphemous. But I don't like it when shows and movies mock Christians. This has been many years ago. Amanda and I, we were going to watch a movie. It was called The Mist. She likes scary movies. Mm-hmm. I don't like scary movies. Mm-hmm. I'm scared. And so I don't like it. And so she wanted to watch The Mist. And we began to watch The Mist. And then we never finished watching it. So this mist kind of descends on this town. But there is a person, a preacher in the town who they portray as backwoods, uneducated, unlearned, always, you know, this judgmental type of person. And after a while, I just could not watch it any longer. I'm like, listen, we can't watch this. I'm done with it. You can finish it if you want to. Yeah. I'm not watching it, you know, kind of thing. And of course, we both turned it off. We both agreed we didn't like what was happening, that portrayal of a Christian in that movie. You know, this reminds me of something biblical. Has Paul ever talked about this?
I believe that Paul talked about this. So you remember the church in Corinth, right?
Oh, yeah.
The church in Corinth had many issues. We ain't talking Corinth, Mississippi. We're talking about Corinth over yonder. And they had so many issues. And Paul brought it down to such a level that everybody could understand it. Do you remember what 1 Corinthians 8:13 says?
I don't remember exactly off the top of my head, but I do know that he's talking about meat sacrificed to idols.
He's talking about eating. He's not talking about being entertained with a book or music or a television show. He's talking about something that everyone does. Everyone eats.
Exactly. And what the problem was is that they were in that pagan society of Corinth. Yeah. They sacrificed the animal to Zeus. And they took that meat, and well, they're not going to throw it away. They would eat it as part of their religious practice. And so the question then is asked, is it okay for a Christian to eat meat that has been sacrificed to Zeus?
Right. To an idol. You know, even think, there was one commentary I read that thinks that the meat that was not eaten by those who did the sacrifice would then be sold in the market at a reduced rate. And so you could buy a ribeye steak for $5 that hadn't been offered to an idol, or you could buy a ribeye steak for $1.50 that had been offered to an idol. And what would make the most sense? And so in 1 Corinthians 8, Paul goes through this whole thing of others' knowledge. Does the other person know? Would it then distract that other person from following the Lord if they knew that I ate this reduced priced meat, or at least reduced price, at most, meat offered to an idol? Would it distract them from following the Lord? So I think the conscience of the other brother, keeping someone else in higher esteem than you, comes into play with, should I watch that?
And he does kind of answer the question too, doesn't he? I mean, he does say that it's okay to eat that meat sacrificed to an idol, because he says it's just meat and it's a fake idol.
Yeah.
So he does go on to say that it's okay. So we would say there's Christian liberty there, but that Christian liberty is restricted based upon whether it wounds the conscience of the other person. And so if it wounds the conscience of the other person, do you remember what Paul says?
What did he say?
He says, I would give up eating meat altogether.
Yeah.
And so I've always taken that. Listen, if a person thinks that I'm going to be eating meat sacrificed to an idol and it's going to wound their conscience, then I would become a vegetarian so they don't even think about that. So in a way, he is saying that he's willing to limit his liberty so that it doesn't cause another brother or sister to stumble.
I think that you're right. And Thomas, I think we can bridge off that idea. And I think we are in good standing scripturally to say there is a difference between public and private consumption of entertainment. There may be something that you should not view in public. We've already mentioned The Office. I don't think we should have The Office season 2 played in our Family Life Center on a television set. We shouldn't. But there are many Christians who have watched the season thoroughly, the season 2, whatever season of The Office, and they watched it privately. So I think there's a difference between public and private consumption of entertainment.
I would agree with that. And even in that private consumption, we still need to ask ourselves some questions. And there are going to be times where something is so abrasive to our ears and so abrasive to our eyes, I commonly, and it's a common practice in our family, and I know it is in yours too, that if we watch something so that we can talk and speak to the culture in which we're living, we just fast forward it. If there's a person that is always going to cuss in this television show almost every time they pop on the screen, we fast forward it.
Fast forward 30 seconds. Boom, boom.
We don't like that person. Don't the way they talk. Don't like those things. Boom.
That's right.
We go to the next one. Maybe it's a person who is shown very prominently in one season. Just skip the season.
That's right. Just skip it. Not a big deal. You can move on. You'll still get the storyline.
You still get the storyline. You can still speak to the culture. So we're asking ourselves some questions, or at least I'm asking myself some questions. You know, does it cause you to sin?
Yeah. Yeah. And if it causes you to sin, in my opinion, avoid it.
Exactly. And sometimes, you know, we could watch something that causes us to sin, physically, that would want us and cause some desire to raise up within us that would make us go out and do something that we normally wouldn't do.
Yeah.
If it does that, we shouldn't do it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
We shouldn't watch something if it causes the person beside us to sin. Just for you parents, think about what that would mean. You're not going to watch some shows because your child is sitting right beside you. And those little eyes, those little ears, those little hearts don't need to hear those things, don't need to see those things.
I agree. Thomas, let's think of something else. We've talked about skipping portions of a season or skipping portions of a show or even scenes in an episode. Let's take this down to the practical level for a church. Super Bowl parties and Super Bowl watch parties are a big deal for some churches.
Wait now, preacher, you plowing too close to the corn here. What you fishing to say?
So should a church air the Super Bowl? Or let me ask it like this. What can a church do? If a pastor goes to a church and the Super Bowl party is a great tool for evangelism and he doesn't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, what can he do during a Super Bowl watch party?
So a Super Bowl watch party, you're almost guaranteed that those commercials and that halftime show is going to be something abrasive to the Christian eye and the Christian ear.
Yes.
What we've done previously at Holly Baptist Church, when I was the pastor there, we would have a watch party. We would meet on that Sunday, and it was, you know, Super Sunday. And we would, usually I would go over something very quickly on that night. It was usually my state of the church address. I would give a state of the church address, and then we would go over to the fellowship hall for fellowship, and the game would be on. And what we did is we'd have a person with a laptop, and we would have it projected. And sometimes we would have sound or a little bit of sound, but it wasn't being blasted throughout the whole fellowship hall, a little bit of sound. And very simply, we took a styrofoam cup, and when the commercials would come on, we would move the styrofoam cup in front of the projector, and it would black out the whole screen. And then the person who was watching over it, once the commercials went off, he would move the styrofoam cup. And when the halftime show came on, they would move the cup back and we would do something else. You know, the kids would go play or whatever it may be. But even this year, there's another option, isn't there?
That is right. I believe Turning Point USA is going to have a Christian option for a halftime show. Recently, Charlie Kirk was assassinated. Because of his assassination, Turning Point USA has gained even more worldwide fame. And so there will be a Christian option for those who gather together to then remotely view another halftime show. I don't have the details yet. The details will be coming out very soon. But as of this recording, the details have not been aired. But I think that is fantastic that someone has done that.
Fantastic. Praise the Lord for that type of option. But there are some things that a church should do, I think, if they're going to show something like the Super Bowl. But you're not going to be showing the craft or Harry Potter at your church or anything
like football. Nothing wrong with that at all. Right. But there are some elements of what goes on during a football program, the commercials, the halftime show that we need to censor because of our, you know, because of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. All right, Thomas, you just mentioned something that I want us to touch on. You said that at Holly Baptist Church, there was someone who had a laptop and they would move a styrofoam cup in front of their projector, and that this person viewing the laptop would basically edit out the commercials for public consumption, would edit out the halftime show for public consumption. Those who were gathered in the family life center, the fellowship hall, would not see all that, but there's somebody behind the screen. There is someone, one person is back there watching the laptop to know when it goes to a commercial, when the commercial's in, when the halftime show starts, and might even give you the halftime, the signal of, hey, we're getting about 3 minutes away from the beginning of the second half of the football game starting back. Someone had to watch that. So here's my question. Is there a validity to a Christian monitoring service, a Christian who reads the books, a Christian who listens to the episodes of podcasts, a Christian who goes to the new released movies and then gives a parental suggestion, a parental guide, a Christian guide? Is there a validity to that person? And is that a ministry?
Yes, it definitely is. And immediately I think of Acts chapter 17. When Paul goes to the Areopagus and he engages that culture, that pagan culture, with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is talking to them. He is communicating with them. Paul did that. He was putting himself in a sinful place for a at a sinful kind of time and moment, and he was doing so for the gospel.
Didn't he even reference one of your poets? Have even said, I believe he referenced one of their poets.
He did. Yeah. That's right.
Modern entertainment of that day.
That's right. He did. And so at Holly, we did. We had a guy who would do that. Jeff would watch over that, and he took that moral responsibility upon himself. And if you've ever went to the website Plugged In. My family, we use Plugged In so much. We would look for, there's Plugged In. Are you familiar with that?
I am not. No, tell me about it.
All right. So Plugged In is a website where Christians can go and they can look up books, television shows, even down to television episodes and movies, and they're going to give you a Christian review. Mm-hmm. Down to, they will count how mm-hmm. many times cuss words are used.
Yeah.
They will tell you this movie has 13 S words mm-hmm. in it.
Yeah.
This movie has so many words, and they will go through all of the questionable sexual things, questionable religious things, questionable spiritual things, and tell you about it. Praise the Lord for those people's ministry, because whoever those writers are who have watched those things have kept myself and my family from seeing some very horrible things through the years. Yeah. So praise the Lord for those. I'll also think about, and you and I talked about this before the podcast, police officers.
District attorneys.
They have to watch some horrible, terrible things that we would never want to watch, but they have to bring justice to people who have done some very evil things.
Yeah. So Thomas, is there a biblical or is there a church precedent for justice in a situation like that?
I think so. I think even though Augustine wouldn't necessarily think about this when he was writing the City of God and when he began to articulate what we know as the just war theory, that there is times where something is so evil or so bad that we have to respond in some kind of manner. And we call that the just war theory. And I think, you know, the overall principles of the just war theory as it relates to war also would relate in some sense to this. One person, there's someone out there who has to watch and to classify evil and terrible things so that the greater good and the greater population can stay away from those things or can bring justice to a person who has done something so evil and terrible. So I think, yeah, I think there is a precedence for that with Augustine's just war theory.
You know, Thomas, this podcast has been really good for us to kind of think through as pastors this question that you and I have both been asked. Is it okay to watch that? Is it okay to read that? Is it okay to listen to that? And this has really helped me today, and I hope that it's helped our listeners too.
And really, it comes down to, is it going to wound your spirit, wound your conscience? And if someone else finds out that you're watching or listening to that, is it going to wound their spirit, wound their conscience, and cause them to sin? And really, only you can answer that for yourself.
That's right.
Thank you for listening to the Ministry Marks podcast. Again, this was a listener-inspired podcast topic. If you have a topic you want us to talk about, then let us know, and we will discuss it very soon.